Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're coming live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. We are hours away from Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals, but there seems like there's so much information still up in the air. Maggie, what is the latest from the Boston-Miami game in Miami tonight?
Okay, well, basically trying to get the injury reports for this series is like trying to crack some sort of, like, you need a Rosetta Stone to figure out who actually is going to end up playing in these games. But right now, Perloff, both Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler are not, I repeat, not listed on the injury report. But you do have a couple other questionables, Robert Williams, Marcus Smart. You can see it there if you're watching us on CBS Sports Network. You've got Lowry, Strus, Gabe Vincent, PJ Tucker, and Tyler Hero, all questionable for the Heat, although we believe that Hero's definitely going to play. At least he said as much a couple days ago. So one big crapshoot here about who's actually going to show up and suit up in this game. But I ask you this question, right? This has been a very bizarre series so far, but yet here we are with it tied 2-2. So it's a best 2 out of 3. Now this is like where both teams obviously really have to lock in. So who do you trust more to grind out like what has been a very bizarre series? Like, if I gave you one person above all else that you trust to will their team to a victory and do whatever they possibly can, like, who do you trust more of all of the participants left?
Okay, in a vacuum, I would have one answer, and he plays on Miami. In this actual series, Maggie, I'm going to probably split hairs here. I'm going with Jason Tatum. And the reason is, I saw Jimmy Butler the other night, 3-for-14 from the field. Clearly not himself. So the question is, can he rebound that quickly? I'm not going to put my trust in a guy who's hurt with no help around him because everyone else is hurt. Now, the same applies to Jason Tatum, but I feel like Jason Tatum gets more help. You know, Jason Tatum is hot and cold. I just feel like this situation with Jimmy just a little bit hobbled really lends itself to Tatum to have another big game. We saw him 2 games ago just be terrible. You know, he's got a little bit of a hot and cold streak going. But I feel like this sets up tonight for Tatum, and I trust him more.
Wait a minute, but Perloff, we just told you, I just read you the injury report. Jimmy Butler's not on it.
No, so Butler's health. But he's not. It doesn't. Even though he's not on it, doesn't mean that he's 100% or anywhere close. Like, he's legitimately hurt.
No, I get it, but you also, like, you can get fined for that, you know? Like, you have to disclose, or you're supposed to disclose, whether or not guys are dealing with injuries.
No, I mean, he's definitely banged. But he's going to play. I'm not saying that they're, like, pulling a fast one there. I'm just saying I don't see him being 100%. They don't have to put him on the list if he's not, like, 80%. They don't have to put him on the list.
He's not questionable, but right.
Yeah.
I get that, right? He's not going to be 100%. But Jimmy Butler at the end of series and playoff games is, like, never 100%. You know, he expends so much energy and is, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, even the last games in the bubble. Remember, like, against the Lakers, how he was so spent. This has become, like, a meme now with, like, him, you know, hunched over the table, right? Because he's so exhausted and out of breath. And they just had, you know, they were out of gas at the end of that finals. There was just nothing left to give. And so I want to say that it would be Jimmy Butler also, but that's not, like, the real answer. Like, Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum are the, like, might seem, like, obvious because they're the two superstars in this series, but who seems to be swaying these games more than anyone? It's, like, the health of Robert Williams and Al Horford. And, like, are you going to get a Bam Adebayo game? Like, we get so sucked into the stars and what they end up and how they perform. And rightfully so, basketball's that kind of way. It's a star-driven league. But the answer, the obvious answers are Jason and Jimmy. That doesn't mean it's the real answer. The real answer is who do you trust has got to be Robert Williams and Al Horford, who feel like when those two guys are on point, that's what swings these games more than anything.
Yes, but you can't trust them. Al Horford has been so hot and cold, just like everybody else, and Robert Williams is also hurt. So I feel like here's the test. You get Robert Williams as healthy as he was last game, but wherever they were going to play him every other game because he needed time to recover from everything that he's going on, I just feel like you can't trust them because of health, too. Although I 100% agree. They make such a huge difference. And I like that you're pairing them together as one person. Are we allowed to do that?
They're one person now.
They're one sort of force, one amoeba. Yeah, it's such a huge factor. But what if I tell you all of a sudden all-star Bam Adebayo shows up? Well, who was that the other night? All of a sudden he's hitting 20-foot jumpers on everybody. He's handling the ball all over the court in that Heat Game 3 win. And then he's back to this year's playoffs, Bam Adebayo. I'm finding all these players so confusing.
Well, and also we should we would have more success just picking names randomly out of a hat. could tonight be the Max Strus game? Could tonight be a Gabe Vincent game? Like, you just never know. I know these guys are on the injury report, but you just never know. And it's like we so often just look to the stars, and you and I just did this, right? Like, we even are guilty of this. Who do you trust to gut a series out? Is it, Tatum? Is it Butler? I don't think we're giving that same, sort of reverence to Marcus Smart right now because he was out and the Celtics cruised to a victory, whether that's fair or unfair if we're, overlooking Smart. But it's like this series has kind of taught us anything. Like, it's about the stars, but it's really not, more so than any other series I think that we've had in these finals or in these playoffs.
All true, valid points. Take all that out. Let's go back. You answer this question. In a vacuum, who do you trust the most? If you had all things being, everyone's 100% healthy, start from zero, what's the one player you want to sort of take over the last 2 minutes?
Who do I want or who do I think? I think it'd be Butler.
Yeah, it's Butler.
Because I've watched him close games like that before, and I've watched him go to the finals. And that's no disrespect to Tatum, who I think is just doing this one time, just beating the Heat this one time, I think would flip the script and put him in one of those guys where we say he's an ultimate closer. We saw him have a good game 7 against the Milwaukee Bucks and put them down. Like, I think that Tatum is so right there, but I'm a prisoner because of what I've actually witnessed in my life, and I've witnessed Butler do this.
Yeah, I mean, then what if we go to the B guys, Jaylen Brown versus Tyler Hero? Because Jaylen Brown might score 45 points. Who knows?
And have 8 turnovers. Same with Tatum. Can they pass the ball? Can they hang on to the ball?
Yeah. Is Victor Oladipo going to get 11 steals? Is he going to be the star of the game? Oh, my gosh.
You know what? We should later in the show go through some of these props for tonight. Because if you have an idea about a prop, I'll follow you down any rabbit hole. Because you can make a case for 15 different guys. And it just has underscored, this series has, not breaking any news here, but that really is a team game. We have this idea that the superstars take over in the end because we watch that so often, but this series has proven much different. And I would say even watching last night, you got a sense of that as well. You saw the Mavs, who had this massive lead over the Warriors for the entire game. And then what ends up happening is Golden State essentially waves the white flag and the Mavs essentially take the victory lap. Luka gets taken out of the game. Steve Kerr takes out Seth Curry, takes out Klay Thompson, takes out Draymond Green. Second unit is in there, Perloff. And what do? Cut the lead to 8. I mean, a lead that was 28, I believe, heading into the fourth quarter. They cut to 8 with 3.5 minutes left to go. And I was just so incensed when Kerr put the starters back in. How could you do that? This is the team that got you all the way back. The unit that got you all the way back. Kuminga, Lee, Moody. You got to stay with these guys to see if they could finish the job. And I thought that would have been such an incredible statement on Warriors culture, Warriors depth, all of that. And obviously that coaching staff couldn't resist. But they put Curry back in. They put Clay. And eventually they lost the game, so it didn't matter anyway. But I was so bummed by that as a basketball fan, as a sports fan, because I wanted to see the second unit, see if they could finish the job.
Okay, a couple questions. So you think those guys all could have gone 12 minutes straight?
Sure. I mean, Jordan Poole can't play 12 minutes?
Why not? I don't know. I mean, Kuminga doesn't usually go for 12-minute runs. So, but that's not even the point. I understand your point. Like, so I just want to know, if Maggie Gray was on the sideline, she was down 8 with 3 minutes and 23 seconds left, down 8 points, you would not put in...
Cut it to 8.
Yeah, and you have the best 3-point shooter in the history of basketball on the bench. You're not going to put him in.
No, I'm not. I'm seriously not. And I'll tell you why. This was not game 7, okay? This was game 4. Non-elimination game. This is basically a house money game for the Golden State Warriors. You're going back home for game 5, where you have not lost at home so far in these playoffs. You just had your second unit bring you all the way back. I'm rolling with the second unit for the last 3 minutes and 30. I don't even care that Dallas put Luka back in the game. Like, to me, this is an ultimate time where, I hate to say it, but you could have just experimented here and see what could have happened. And as soon as they put Curry back in the game, it fell apart.
Well, it was 8 points. I mean, it's kind of hard to make up 8 points in 3 minutes. You'd think you'd want your best 3-point shooter. I don't know. I think most coaches would have put in Curry. You think that's fair to say?
I think most coaches would have, and Steve Kerr's obviously forgotten more basketball than I'll ever know. He's an excellent coach. This is more about, we talk about this a lot with analytics and like how analytics have come into the game. Like, does momentum exist? You know, we talk about this a lot because analytics basically tells you that momentum is like a figment of your imagination. There's no actual like numbers that back up the idea of momentum. And that's the part, as much as I appreciate analytics describing the game and helping us understand sports, that's the part of it that I can never wrap my head around, because I feel like momentum exists. And with that second unit went on like a 37-11 run, I mean, just keep the good vibes going. Keep the good play, and it rewards the guys who are on the floor who brought you all the way back, and you had nothing to lose because the series is going to be a wrap when they go back to Golden State anyway.
I mean, you sound very passionate. You make a great case, but I think you're overthinking it. I think you have Steph Curry on the bench. You better get him in that game. Let's put it to a poll. Let's do it that way.
Okay.
Put it to a poll.
Okay.
Were it down 3, down 8 points or 3 minutes and 23 seconds, would you have put in Steph Curry if you were the Warriors last night?
No, that's going to sway the results. How about we word it this way, which is, would you stay with the second unit that just cut your lead? Oh, wait, it's already too many characters. Should Steve Kerr have stayed with the second unit in the fourth quarter? Is that too ambiguous?
Yeah, I don't know what if anybody. First of all, I think you and 7 other people in Dallas were watching this at that point of the game.
Well, I think after the leak in the ceiling caused a delay coming out of halftime, I think a lot of people tuned out, because I've seen like moisture on the floor, especially when, you know, places have hockey arenas and their basketball arenas, and sometimes things get all screwed up.
Yeah.
But that drip from the roof down to the court took a lot longer to patch up than I think anyone realized.
Do you realize, Maggie, what you did here, by the way? I want to acknowledge this and make sure that you hear it too. You had a decision to put in Steph Curry with 3 minutes and 20 seconds left, down 8.
Yeah.
You know, kind of probably the conventional decision. You made
how dare you?
You made an indictment of analytics in basketball and something about how it was a chance to excel in culture of Warriors basketball.
Yes. The culture that Steph Curry is responsible for creating. Yes. I just did say that.
One
all
rotation
of that's true, and I stand behind all of it.
One rotation that 30 out of 30 NBA coaches probably would have done. And you're taking down the whole house of cards because of this move. I love it. It's great.
Listen, I was incensed in the moment. You know, it's just like, oh, come on, Kerr. Don't take these guys out. Don't put Curry in. Wiggins back in the game. It's like, just see if these guys can finish this thing. You know, do you never feel like that, Perloff? You were a bench player your whole life. You know, you got to play at Dartmouth. But as far as I remember from your stories, you were coming off the bench. Don't you? I thought you would be behind this story more than anyone. A little love for the bench guys.
Well, that was Dartmouth. I didn't have LeBron or Steph Curry sitting behind me. If you, by the way, and you know, I was actually thinking this for you. If you take out Steph Curry's name and you put LeBron's name in it, it sounds even crazier. 3 minutes and 23 seconds, LeBron is watching, you know, all these backups like Moody and Kuminga. Like, would you not put in LeBron as well? Would you not put in Michael Jordan in 1992? Like, would you have not put in Larry Bird?
No, Perloff, in this instance, no, I wouldn't have. Because, again, if this was Game 7, if it was even Game 6, if this was a closeout game, 100%, absolutely. Furthest thing from a closeout game. Up 3-0, no urgency, like, no need. No, I mean, urgency as much as there's any urgency in the playoffs, although I'll find the urgency for me on either on both of these series. But, like, I found that that was the exact moment to keep it riding with the hot hands of the second unit. And they didn't do it.
Okay.
And that was that. Something actually a lot more serious, obviously, from before the game. And that was some really poignant words that Steve Kerr had to say about the awful, awful shooting yesterday in Texas. And we know that Kerr has been so outspoken, as have a lot of coaches, people in sports, about this awfulness and these tragedies that we just keep seeing over and over in our country. And Perloff, yesterday, Steve Kerr's emotions really boiled over, and I think he was speaking for so many of us when he talked about his frustrations. Let's take a listen.
Now we have children murdered at school. When are we going to do something? I'm tired. I'm so tired of getting up here and offering condolences to devastated families that are out there. I'm so tired of the, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm tired of the moments of silence. Enough. We can't get numb to this. We can't sit here and just read about it and go, well, let's have a moment of silence. Yeah, go Dubs. We are being held hostage by 50 senators in Washington who refuse to even put it to a vote, despite what we, the American people, want. They won't vote on it because they want to hold on to their own power. It's pathetic. I've had enough.
Powerful stuff from Steve Kerr there, Perloff, yeah. Obviously. And I do think that he speaks for a lot of us when you just feel like you have all this rage inside of you because we keep seeing these things over and over again and you feel so powerless against it. I mean, think about, let alone the last decade of our country, but even just the last week, going back to Buffalo and in California and now in Texas, this is all within the last week. And there is a powerlessness that I think Kerr really tapped into that a lot of us are feeling.
Yeah, I mean, sports was tough yesterday. I think we can all agree that it was in front of mine. I know some people probably have a problem with Steve Kerr doing that in the press conference. I don't see how you can. I mean, it's really, really hard, especially in the moment yesterday. You know, obviously, you have a kid. I have a fourth grader, same age, 10. And I spent the morning with my daughter at school yesterday and left it like before the show for like a ceremony thing. And you know, there's obviously no words, although I really like what Steve Kerr said in the sense that, like, I think we all need to actively look at how we're voting and stuff like that. I know this is not redefining anything, Maggie, and I know we don't really do a lot of politics on the show today, but it was a very, very emotional day. I had the Sports Emmy last night, Maggie, and, like, honestly, there was nobody was celebrating. Not that anybody cares about that, but it was... It overwhelmed the sports world yesterday. I think it will today. I think it will for a while. And then I hope we don't let it not overwhelm the sports world, because obviously this story, we can't let it go away.
You're so right, right? Like, we in sports get to be like in the sandbox of life where we get to try to just distract people and entertain people from like real stuff that goes on. But at the same time, you don't want to be distracted sometimes because obviously this is just so important, and it just feels like there's just so much fear. You know, there's so much fear on all sides. It's, you know, politicians who don't want to lose their power, afraid of gun lobbies. There's people who are afraid their guns are going to get taken away. And then there's, like we saw with the awful murder in Buffalo, you know, people who are fearful about this, you know, replacement theory and these propaganda things that get thrown in their faces. They're afraid they're going to be isolated and left behind. And then that causes all of us to be afraid to send our kids to school or go to a movie theater, go to a grocery store. I mean, it all is predicated on fear. And, you know, you hope that gun laws and then getting to the root of, like, what are these motivations for these awful acts, and all we want is change, because nobody wants this. Nobody.
Absolutely.
And we thought that was poignant for Steve Kerr to say. We are going to do our best to try to entertain you today. We're going to talk sports and, of course, want to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break. Maggie and Perloff back in just a minute.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination? Because they offer free battery testing and charging and reliable replacement batteries. And they've always got your battery solution. Get in the zone, AutoZone. It's a big week on Maggie and Perloff. It is Top Gun Maverick. Is that what it's called? Top Gun Maverick.
Oh, yeah.
Is out this week. Brings back a lot of memories, a lot of nostalgia. It's kind of been a nostalgia-filled year. So, yep. Maggie, I think we have to make this Tom Cruise week here at Maggie and Perloff Show.
Yes, we're starting this on Wednesday, a little bit late. We talked yesterday, though, about Tom Cruise's amazing ability to run on camera, which we all know.
I think that segment took over yesterday's show. I think it's fair to say yesterday was a Tom Cruise day.
Yeah, kind of. Okay, so I guess unofficial soft launch yesterday into Tom Cruise week, and then now we get going in earnest here, and we're going to borrow a little from some of Tom Cruise's biggest and best movies to try to talk about some things in the sports world. And we're going to do this with a musical accompaniment, but, you know, full disclosure, you know, it costs a lot to play the actual music from movies and stuff. So we came up with a close second, and we're going to talk about Mission Impossible. We're going to give you a couple things in the sports world. We'll tell you impossible or possible with our as close as we can humanly get music without having to pay for it. Yeah, this is pretty good. Nice job, Santer. You found something pretty close. This is like merengue Mission Impossible.
A very slowed down, casual version of Mission Impossible. Like senior citizen's home Mission Impossible. Like,
yeah.
Hey, let's...
That's kind of us.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Mission Impossible, Perloff. We'll start with the first one. The Mavs can actually come back in this series and beat Golden State. They won last night. Mission Impossible, Mission Possible.
So... what is the numbers on teams that are down 3-0 in NBA history playoffs?
That's a big fat zero.
I think it's what, 148 to zero, 146 to zero? It's zero. The point is it's zero. So I'm going to give that a 0% chance of happening. Although,
now it's 3-1. Now that's happened before. What's like 13 times or something like that, that a team's come back from 3-1. So if you start now, like right now, the odds improve just a little bit.
I'm not sure that's exactly how it works.
I don't think that's how math works.
No, I don't think you can reset the odds. I don't think you can reset the odds now. Although, as someone pointed out, remember, my Philadelphia 76ers were up 3-0 in the first round to the Raptors, then dropped 2 and got really, really tense. And Charles Barkley, after last night's game, said, you know what? You know, he's been sort of supporting the Mavs. If the Mavs win the next game, then it's 3-2, then Golden State has to come back to Dallas, then it's panic time. I'm still giving it a 0% chance, although that would be entertaining in a playoff series that has not been. So I'm rooting for it, but I give it no chance. Do you see anything happening?
I love you say Charles Barkley has kind of been rooting for the Mavs. Yes, he came to the game on a horse.
Yeah.
I think that's what tipped us off that maybe he was pulling for the Mavs. This is zero. And last night could have possibly been a sweep if Steve Kerr had just left the second unit in last 3 minutes and 30 seconds of that game.
Are you going to be able to get over this? Because I feel like this has become your Mission Impossible.
This is my hill. I found it. Okay. Our next Mission Possible. The Lakers trading Russell Westbrook, Perloff.
Yeah.
Does this feel like impossible or possible?
Feels even less possible than the Mavs coming back from 3-0. And I'll tell you why. Because they immediately scoffed at the idea of attaching a first-round pick with him. So if the market deems that you needed to add a first-round pick for him, how on earth are they going to trade him without that first-round pick? It just seems impossible that anyone's going to take on that money. Sounds like another Mission Impossible.
Okay, I'm going to say Mission Possible, and the reason why is because we didn't put a time on this. I don't think he'll be traded before the season starts, but he could be traded before the deadline because his contract goes from being an absolute albatross to a very valuable expiring contract, and that's when it becomes more appealing. I know I'm getting in the weeds here on NBA stuff, but just trust me on this. His big, terrible contract becomes more appealing as we get closer to the trade deadline. Mission possible, he will be traded before, around February, whenever the deadline is.
So in that scenario you just described, are you assuming the Lakers are out of it, or are the Lakers contending at that point?
No, I'm thinking that maybe the Lakers do a Russell Westbrook shakeup move midway through the season, and it could propel them to a playoff berth.
Yeah,
I gotta say playoff berth. I can't put my expectations any higher than that right now.
What if you have a healthy Anthony Davis, which you should? You got. Yes. I think playoff berth's a little low.
Are you sure you're having a healthy Anthony Davis? I mean, I'm not banking on that.
Yeah,
that's Mission Impossible.
Again, another Mission Impossible. Okay, what's next?
Okay, the next Mission Possible comes to us from Sam Darnold, quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. Now, do we have some sound here for Sam? Okay, let's play a little sound from Sam Darnold, and we'll explain on the other side.
It really starts with understanding the offense, understanding the defense, and really going out there with the confidence, knowing that, you know, as long as I know what we're doing, what the defense is doing, I'm confident that I can be one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Now, wait. Wow. Is he talking about his defense or the other team's defense? That's an important distinction because the Panthers have a really good defense. Like, I think it behooves him to watch them, but I don't know if it matters if he understands his own defense. You know what? I find that Mission Impossible with a slight caveat that he's got a lot of talent around him. Like, if you I give you another miracle, what if I give you a healthy Christian McCaffrey for 17 games? You give me Terrace Marshall taking the next step, young wide receiver. Maybe he improves. I mean, he's set up for improvement on last year. Would you buy that as Mission Possible?
I think the Mission Possible Impossible was that Sam Darnold could become one of the best quarterbacks in the league. That's a straight up Mission Impossible for me. As much as, you know, personally, I think Darnold is, you know, likable guy. I mean, how he handled everything in New York, I think was admirable for him. But I just do not see him. Like, this is the thing about Darnold. There are times when he can't make the layup plays. You know, that's the stuff you're supposed to be working out of your system in the early years of being a quarterback. And Sam sometimes just can't even make the easy stuff. Sometimes he can make the wow plays that are like, oh man, I get why this guy was taken, you know, third overall. But he can't do the easy stuff. And so I don't know if it matters what the offense or the defense is doing. I don't trust Sam Darnold. That's mission impossible for me.
But once again, his offense and his defense or the other team's defense? But
he hasn't shown a competency with either.
I'm going to say mission almost impossible. Is that a fair answer?
Way to toe the line. Okay, our final mission impossible, mission possible. We actually get a close game in the Eastern Conference Finals tonight, Perloff. Mission possible, mission impossible.
Mission impossible, because it's game five. And now we're seeing load management's become such an institution in the NBA. Teams are load managing within series. So once you get down by eight, then you just sort of call off the dogs. I think we're good. I mean, the safe bet is there's going to be another blowout because that's all we've seen.
Okay. I think that this is mission possible. This might be mission wishful thinking, but now you're in a best two out of three. You really can't afford to mess around anymore. This is where guys are just going to have to play through injuries. This is where you can't let go of the rope, even if you're down by 15 or 20. You know, this is where white flags cannot be waved. You know, you can mess around with that in the early games of a series, but not now. And especially, I would say, if you're the Celtics, not now, because the next two out of three are on the road. So I'm this, call me mission wishful thinking. I think we get a close game tonight.
Yeah, that's it does sound like mission wishful thinking. I mean, Maggie, you and I need it. Like we have busy lives. We need to be entertained with these games. We're not getting the juice we need. Yeah, I just think that this series, and we've been saying, it really just comes out to like whose knee is going to hold up, whose hamstring. I mean, there are nine guys with hamstrings injuries. What's going on here?
I know. And you want to know something? Like I see this conversation happening a lot, sports talk media, online stuff about how the schedule is so brutal
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
And I get that, and it is. But as a fan, I'm really torn because I like the fact that there's games every night.
Yeah.
So I kind of love this, but I do realize that it's obviously taking its toll on the players. They've got no time to recover in games. Ultimately, it would probably be for a better product if we had a little more time in between games, but I kind of like the pace of having a game every night.
Yeah, me too. Although the Dallas Golden State series could go away early, leaving us on every other night. By the way, I'm going to take one step back to Sam Darnold. I pulled up the Panthers schedule, Maggie, and if the NFC South tanks like we think it does,
yeah,
I mean, he might not be one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but they have the easiest schedule I've seen in a long time. They start with Cleveland and probably no Deshaun Watson, Giants, Saints, Cardinals. They've got a lot of Denver, Seattle. Oh, well, Denver's tough. But I'm telling you, watch out. I'm going to pick the Panthers. Can I get on that bandwagon, Maggie?
Wow.
There's room.
Do we have their win total?
Let's ask Sampter. Look up the Panthers' win total. I'm going to go over.
Here's the funniest thing about the Darnold sound. He's like, well, if I know what the offense is doing and I know what the defense is doing, I can be a great quarterback. It's like, yeah, of course. Like,
yeah.
We obviously know you're an excellent athlete. Like, that part of it is undeniable. Even if we don't think you're a great quarterback, we know you belong in the league, at least to some extent. Like, yes, the mastering of the offense and the defense, that's generally what separates the good guys from the great ones.
Well, maybe it was like a Houston Astros, if I know what pitch is coming. Like he said, if I master it, or if I know what the defense is bringing, then I have a great chance. If I know they're blitzing, I'm going to be good. That's mission possible, Maggie. I think we have to rejudge that one. I think it makes perfect sense.
Can Matt Rhule just get someone to bang a garbage can on the side if he can tell Sam Darnold that the blitz is coming?
That'd be great. Six games total for Panthers.
Six games.
So there we go.
You're taking the over.
Taking way over. Maybe even eight if all things break right.
Wow. Man, I don't know. Yeah, probably. Just because that division is probably going to be a stink fest. All right, Maggie and Perloff, that was our first ode of the day towards Tom Cruise. He's going to get many other mini celebrations today throughout the course of the show. Coming up next, one NFL team is about to turn themselves from punchline to primetime. And it's not the Panthers. We're going to tell you who that is next. Don't move. More Maggie and Perloff right after this.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. Back on Maggie and Perloff. You know, it's a fun time of year for NFL fans because it's like OTAs, Maggie. So, like, you get the headlines, but they don't really mean that much because, as Bill Belichick pointed out, it's just OTAs. So you can kind of have fun with this. I think all the teams are overly optimistic right now. There's, like, good morale everywhere. Doesn't matter how bad your team was. This is, like, the time of year where you're like, yeah, we're going to do it this year.
Yeah, first of all, you believe Belichick's not sweating this out? Keep thinking that. They're panic mode up there in New England.
No, that is not
Belichick's
true.
Trying to play it off like it's not a big deal. He's the most detail-oriented person in the NFL, yet that small minor detail of who's going to be calling plays this upcoming season, he's willing to leave that for, what, a bake-off between Joe Judge and Matt Patricia? Please, buying that Belichick's not worried about this. He
Are you
is.
Kidding me? First of all, Josh McDaniels left before. They've churned through more assistants. What's it different? When you have the biggest brain coach in the history of the sport, I don't care who your assistants are. Look at his assistants when they leave.
They don't have Brady anymore. Perloff, they don't have Brady anymore, which they could weather so the storm when Josh McDaniels left the first time, and I guess the second time was only for like a couple days, right, before he went back on his word with the Colts. But like, this is totally different. Oh my gosh. Keep believing the Belichick that this is all sunshine and roses for Belichick.
Oh,
I would not believe that. This is his best acting job ever.
No, you think 70-year-old Bill Belichick is panicking about this? Oh, put that on the big board disagreement. I will guarantee there is zero panic in Bill Belichick right now. Zero. He is so controlling of all these situations that he is literally probably could care less who the play caller is. He lets his own son be the defensive coordinator just out of sympathy. Like, Stephen Belichick's not, he's like a faux defensive coordinator. Like, Belichick is running this show.
No, I know. See, that's why he gave little Belichick, mullet Belichick, he gave him the job title because he knew it was an empty title. He's
just like offensive coordinator, just like play caller, just like offensive coordinator. That's an empty title. Any title that's not head coach there is an empty title.
Okay, I'll give you that Bill has his hands in everything, but you think that Bill wants to be the offensive play caller here? If he had anyone else who he trusted, like he trusted McDaniels, he would have let that person call plays. Totally. The empty, like, Steve Belichick may as well be like VP of snacks. You know, he's got the empty job title because Belichick is so responsible for the defensive side. We all know that. He's a genius on that side of the ball. We'll see about the offensive side. Yesterday, we talked about one particular cliche that we love, which is best shape of my life guy, right? And we had a couple examples of best shape of my life. This is also the season for changing the culture. This is where teams love to stand up and say, oh, we're changing the culture around here. Like it's something that you can snap your fingers and do overnight. So we're going to take a look at some of the people who have said just in the last 24 to 48 hours that they are actively changing the culture for their team, and we're going to see whether or not we believe it. So let's start at what is, like, you know, one of our favorite sound bites in terms of coaches in this league, Dan Campbell, the Danimal, who's talked about the Lions culture and how that's changing. Let's hear it.
So this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right. That's going to be the mentality.
Okay, so that one actually was from last year, his introductory press conference, but it's still one of our absolute favorite sound bites. Now, all of that tough talk, Perloff, the Lions won three games last year.
Yeah. Yeah, so
do
I don't
you
know.
Do you believe that the culture is changing in Detroit?
No. I don't think they're talented enough yet. I also don't really understand the Jared Goff plan. Like, how come they didn't seem to be interested in a young quarterback or anything this offseason? I don't see this team making a giant step forward. So this is an example where culture talk is meaningless to me.
Okay. The win-loss record is not going to reflect this, obviously. But I do like what they've done in the draft the last couple of years. You got Sewell. Now you got Jameson Williams, who we know is not maybe going to be healthy right away, but obviously is phenomenal. Aiden Hutchinson, from all accounts, is one of those guys who could help change a culture. So I do believe in this just a little bit, and I believe in it because, like, could the culture get worse? I mean, the Lions have been a laughingstock for so long. You can't look to Jared Goff to change things, but I think the other guys around could put their mark on this team.
Yeah, I mean, Penny Sewell is a pretty polarizing guy for a lot. A lot of people think that that's trending the wrong way already. So I don't know if that one's a great pick necessarily.
I mean, he's like his first year.
Yeah, but we all
give him a little more time.
Oh, welcome to today's NFL, by the way, where people judge left tackles in about a week. So, I just think you start with a quarterback, though. Like, what's your long-term plan here at quarterback?
I think their plan is that they're going to probably be pretty bad again this year.
Okay.
And I think they're probably going to target a quarterback in this upcoming draft.
Right. So if they're like, you cannot build a culture and win three games 2 years in a row, because losing, unfortunately, is like a culture killer in a sense. Yeah. And people get discouraged. The coach gets on the hot seat. I think it's going to be hard for Dan Campbell's message to get through unless they see like immediate success here and build some confidence. So I'm a little pessimistic that culture is going to work, although I love Dan Campbell. I hope it does. And I actually like Jared Goff. He's very nice. So for what that's worth, I'm rooting for Detroit, but man, I think it's going to be tough.
I love how talking about how losing perpetuates a negative culture from the man who had to sit through the process. Like as a 76ers fan,
basketball is different. Basketball is different because you only have five guys on the team and you are on the court. You can mix them in. You can change the players quicker than you can in football. So, yeah, that's what I'm telling myself anyway, Maggie.
Okay. Our next culture shock is the Chicago Bears, who we've talked about quite a bit. And this comes off of Justin Fields, who was speaking to reporters 2 days ago. And his quote was this. He said it to the print reporter, so we don't have the audio. We're kind of just trying to reculture or getting the culture in the building. I don't think our culture was the best culture last year. So working with the new staff, everybody is just buying in. And obviously there is a totally new staff there in Chicago. Cleaned house, general manager, head coach, everything is different. Perloff, do you buy that the culture's changing in Chicago?
Yeah, I mean, this one's easier because Matt Nagy, from all the reports, had really lost control of this team. They weren't into it. So I don't know, like, Matt Eberflus, like, he's got to be a good coach, right? Based on the fact that, like, the fact that
based
they went...
Based on what?
Based on the fact that they hired a defensive guy in a league where everyone is hiring young offensive gurus, like, this guy's got to be a culture guy and a character guy. Otherwise, it makes no... How would he ever get through the interview process? I don't know what it is. I believe in Eberflus. Also, he came with, like, such glowing recommendations, much like sort of Nick Sirianni did out of Indy. So I feel like Eberflus has breathed some air into this program. I don't know if it's enough.
Okay. I think that this is... If this is going to be a culture change, I think that Justin Fields is going to be at the front of it more even so than the head coach. But... I have no idea if Eberflus is going to be a good head coach. None of us know that. Also, Luke Getsy, who's going to be the offensive coordinator who comes in. Like, for every good recommendation that you can find for a coach, I can also find you Peyton Manning calling on behalf of Adam Gase. Like, I can find you a recommendation that went so wrong that it's, you know, it was awful. So I don't know if I can go off of that. I think Justin Fields has got to be the guy who turns this thing around for them. And I believe that he is good enough to do that. It's whether or not the franchise believes in him enough to give him a real shot.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing about Fields, though, he's like kind of a quiet guy, right? That's what everyone says. Can a young second year quarterback, I guess he has to lead by example, but he's not going to be the rah rah guy. I don't know if that's what you need.
I don't know if a quarterback needs to necessarily be rah-rah to be the leader. I think from what I've heard from so many guys who played in the league or veterans of the league, it's like, how are you in the huddle in the last 2 minutes of a game? Do we believe in you then? All the other stuff, I'm not saying it's eyewash because I'm sure it matters, but I think that's where you really find whether or not guys believe in you.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we're talking about Chicago and Detroit. Like, they have nowhere to go but up, so it's easy to buy somewhat of a culture change. But, like, I just worry about the whole topic in general. Like, we always hear culture change, and then the team goes on to win four games.
Okay, so last one, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who obviously need a massive culture change. We've left no time for the Jags. Bad job by us. Doug Peterson, Urban's out, Perloff. It's got to get better, right?
Well, same front office, though.
You're so right about that. All right, coming up next, we've got a story out of college football that you've got to hear. And we're going to start a very special countdown coming up next. We'll tell you what that is. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM, Channel 158.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.